Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Author Roundup, a special segment of the Book Connection Show, where we meet up-and-coming indie authors and talk to them about their recently released books.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Author Roundup. I hope you're well. My name is Emma. Today, I am joined by Stan Seawich, author of his recently published book, Engage, How WD-40 Company Built the Engine of Positive Culture. Stan Seawich is a business psychologist, entrepreneur, and advisor to CEOs. He has founded 4 companies, been CEO, and served as director for 13 companies. Stan partnered with former WD-40 company CEO Gary Ridge and other company leaders over the course of 20 years in building a highly engaged culture where 98% of people say they love to work. First off, thank you for joining me, Stan. How are you today?
I'm fine, Emma. Good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you as well. So you published your book this year. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Well, the purpose of publishing the book this year was to accompany a conference that I, Gary Ridge, and San Diego State University, along with Purpose Point, a consulting and event production company, put on at San Diego State this October, just a week ago. The idea of the book was to describe more about the engine parts of creating a positive culture and how to actually do it, rather than most conferences focus on why they should even try.
Okay. So
this was a conference about how do you do it? What are the specific actions necessary? And I decided to make it more broadly available to the public at large.
Okay.
That was the culture forum.
Perfect. And had you published before, or is this your first published book?
This is my third book.
Oh, perfect.
I published 2 other books, which were volume 1 and 2, called Notes from the Corporate Underground. Volume 1 was Paradise is Not for Sissies. And volume 2 was Work for a Jerk and Love It.
Well, first off, I feel like your career and your job is super interesting, and I can't wait to get into that. But first, yeah, a little bit more about your book. So who would you say this book is for?
It's really for any senior leader in a company who wants to positively impact their culture. Okay. It's written in a voice as I'm talking to a CEO. So I wanted the reader to put themselves in the mindset of a CEO. And it would include people who are just starting companies, too. I think it's easier to build a culture from a blank sheet of paper than it is to try to change one after many years along a certain path.
Right. Okay. And so what's the style of this book? You said it's more conversational, but is it also like a guidebook, or how is it kind of like laid out? How did you go about going how it's written?
It is conversational, and I tell stories to try to illustrate the principles that are being presented.
Okay.
But it also is a guidebook. It says specifically, here's step 1, 2, and 3 for how do you create an aligned set of values in an organization, or how do you approach compensation, which is a significant impact on how people experience the culture. So it's a combination, but it's more conversational. It's like I was sitting there talking to someone.
Okay. And why the company WD-40?
Well, I've been involved with WD-40 since 2001. I became an employee and leading the global HR function in 2012 and stayed there until my retirement in 2021. So now over 22 years of being involved with the company. And in my consulting business, we had 1,200 clients over a period of 2 decades. And I never found another client that was actually trying to live by their values, even at times at the expense of making money, putting people first and focusing on the quality of life as much or more so than the financial result. So when Gary asked me to join the company in 2012, I hadn't no idea I would be working for someone else after 23 years in building businesses.
Yeah.
But it was a noble experiment, in my view, to help this company make a transition as it moved into a new era of its business and prepared for succession of leadership.
Yeah. And it's such a huge, huge company. Do you feel like there's a difference between smaller companies versus larger companies of the engagement and likability of employees and their jobs and how they feel about their jobs?
By the fact of size alone, I don't think so. I've seen large and small companies alike who have done the right things and created cultures that people would like to be a part of. Not many, but there are those. 3M comes to mind as a large 150-year-old business that continues to form a culture around honesty, transparency, entrepreneurialism, and an objective view of performance and, mm-hmm. and learning moments, as we say at WD-40, instead of mistakes. So it depends on the psychological will of the senior leaders and the shareholders. Do they want that kind of an organization? If they do, it can be done on any scale.
Mm-hmm. So this book shows and has actual research and results. What do you want the reader to get most out of this book? What's the main point you want them to get out of it?
Well, one main point is that it doesn't cost more money to do this type of cultural growth. It doesn't take more time. It takes attention and awareness of one's own behavior as a leader and how that behavior affects others. How do you make decisions? Do you have a meritocracy where people can earn what they can earn, as opposed to relationship-centered promotion where people have to know somebody to get an opportunity?
Right.
It's about how you lead. And number two is that it takes time and it takes a critical mass of people all doing it in not the same exact way, but with the same principles applied in their unique individual personalities and approaches. Mm-hmm. Those two things. It's about leadership. It's about personal behavior. Mm-hmm. And it takes time.
Mm-hmm. What do you think makes a good company more enjoyable and employees more happy to work at?
To start with, people want to be treated with respect. Mm-hmm. They want to feel like they're of value. They want to know that they have something to contribute that's meaningful. And they want to pursue the aspirations of their career as they may earn their right to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Those are not that complicated to understand.
Yeah.
But it takes dedicated effort and attention to know how a leader influences whether or not someone feels that way.
Mm-hmm.
People like to have fun. I always thought that one of the hallmarks of WD-40 Company is that we took our work very, very seriously, not ourselves. Yeah. We were always willing to poke fun at each other, to have a good time, even in the midst of hard work, and especially in the midst of hard work, because it's not easy to work at WD-40 Company.
Yeah.
Hard work, there's a lot of it. Things change all the time. New challenges are gifted to us, like the Great Recession or the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about knowing any human would want to be treated that way.
Right. Yeah, that's so true. I just had a question just sparked from what you're talking about right now about how people can work so hard and not feel valued or respected. What are your thoughts on like Americans' hours worth of work, like 40 hours a week versus some people, international workers that work like less than that? How do you feel about like a 40 hour week versus like the debate about working like 4 hours or 4 days a week?
Well, the more I've learned over the years, it's not about the hours you're working. It's how you feel about the work that you're doing during those hours.
Right.
When I started my first company, there was no clock anymore. There was no calendar anymore. There was a need to integrate my work in trying to provide for my family by starting this company and being with the family that I was providing for.
Yeah.
So I learned how to integrate the two. I just wove seamlessly between being there for my daughter's song team performance at the football game. And when we got home, I was on the computer doing proposals from 9 o'clock at night until midnight.
Right.
And I felt it was meaningful and rewarding. So it's about what you're doing and how you feel about it, not how many hours.
Yeah, that's true. It's about like if you're passionate about it, because if you're not passionate about it, then you're going to be like, well, I spend however many hours a week doing it. It's like, so back to your book. So what inspired the idea for your book, for this book in particular?
Well, as I mentioned, we were creating a forum, a conference to teach people how to do it. And I knew that even in 2 days and 11 speakers, there wouldn't be enough time or depth for the attendees to really take all of it home. Mm-hmm. So that's why I wrote the book. And then I decided to publish it more broadly because I reasoned not everybody can come to a conference in San Diego. So I wanted to be available to anyone who is interested.
Right. Had you come up with all of your research and materials for the book prior to the conference, or how did that work? Had you had like everything ready, or did it take you, or did you sit down and like write a lot of the materials for your book?
Well, the research I did is based on my 50 plus years in the world of work as a business psychologist in multiple roles, different businesses, starting businesses, being a director of businesses, an advisor to now maybe 1,400 companies.
Wow.
So it's my research. As right. I say in the book, I don't have all the answers. I have my answers.
My answers, yeah.
So these are my answers, and you can decide. I do cite some research, like the Gallup polls, which measure engagement every couple of years, some research from the Beister Institute, the Kauffman Foundation. But the majority of the work is my field research as a person over the last half century.
Wow. How long did it take you to write your book?
I started in December of 22. I finished the last edited version in July.
Oh, wow.
And there are still two typos in it. So if you read the book and you find the typos, I will send you a prize.
You got to find them. You got to find the two typos. Can you share any anecdotes of your writing experience? What was it like to write this book in particular? I know you said that you've written before, but for this book, Engage, what was it like for you?
Well, it started out with chapter headings. What was the main parts of the engine?
Okay.
And then,
cool.
And then I just wrote for each part, the principles, the experiences, the stories that would help illustrate why that engine part was necessary.
What was your writing process like? How do you go about writing your book? Do you have like any process that you like as far as getting words out?
Well, I used to be a newspaper columnist for these San Diego Daily Transcript.
Very cool.
On the side for 10 years. And I wrote a weekly column that was somewhere between 700 and 1,000 words every week. And what would happen is I'd get an idea during the week. So like I'm always trolling for the idea.
Yeah.
And when I got the idea, I had to quick write it down on a sticky note. I live by sticky notes.
Me too.
And then I'd carve out a couple of hours on an afternoon, an evening, often after 9 o'clock at night, and I'd write it out. Then the next morning, I would edit it, see what I'd miss, and then publish it. So I did that same kind of process. I wrote out the chapter headings, and then as soon as I wrote the heading down, I knew what I wanted to write about that.
Oh, that's nice.
And I'd look at my calendar, and I've got 2 hours. Okay, go grab a cup of tea, write for 2 hours. So I would steal parts of the day and the week, always in the back of my mind, trying to develop the ideas and how I wanted to present it.
Oh, very cool. And you still have like that deadline perception of, or that
exactly.
deadline.
Exactly. Which was really helpful.
Yeah, I bet. Are you someone that you can write? Well, obviously, are you someone that can write like under pressure? Is that like when you write the best?
I write under pleasure.
Pleasure. Okay.
Because it is a pleasure to write for me.
Yeah.
To put something on paper to help illustrate and communicate to someone else. I feel an internal impetus to do it.
Oh, that's great. What was the best part of writing your book, and what was your favorite part of your book to write?
I guess I don't have a favorite part, because the entire premise of the book was the favorite part. I enjoyed having it done.
I bet.
Getting it done on time for Trafford to publish it on time so I could have it for the conference.
Oh, yeah. It was ready in time then?
It was, yeah.
Everything worked out fine. Perfect. That's awesome. Well, I really like the aspect of your book that you mentioned, the conversational part. I really like that. And I'm sure a lot of readers will like that as well. Like, it's nice to, like, if you're seeking something that you want to learn more about, it's nice to feel like it's like a one-on-one conversation and something as important as, you know, your work, and, you know, you want your work to be valued by everyone and your company. Like, I think that was a really good move for your book in particular.
Well, I want the reader, whether or not they're a CEO, to put themselves in their mind to think like a CEO, because everyone is a leader of themselves, of influencing people around them, maybe even with formal responsibility for protecting the livelihoods of others. So why not put it in that context?
Yeah. And I think also a reader definitely could not just be a CEO or boss. I think it's definitely could be valuable for, you know, an employee as well. If they, you know, feel like their employee is struggling with engagement and creating like a community, like, I mean, that's a good idea to seek ideas maybe from an employee's perspective as well.
Absolutely. In fact, at WD40, we created a leadership development program called Leadership Lab, and everybody was invited, from the receptionist to the vice president of marketing, and everybody was in the same room.
That's really cool. Do you think a lot more companies lack that?
Absolutely. The statistics alone show it.
Yeah.
Only approximately 30% of employees feel engaged in their organizations in the United States. It's 15 or 16% globally by the same Gallup survey.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Well, I think a lot of leaders don't recognize how their own behavior impacts that factor.
Right.
Or they don't care.
Yeah. As like a CEO or leader, boss, how do they go about like evaluating their company's engagement, or how would they like seek to make that better? Like, would they know that there are advisors out there, or what typically is their like first move for action?
That's a great question. If they haven't done anything, but they want to find out where they are, doing an engagement survey can help. It's not the only thing to do though, because as I mentioned in the book, there are sources of error in any survey. So it's not the be-all, end-all to measuring engagement. Mm-hmm. More importantly than that, though, is getting to know people in your company.
Yeah.
Have a conversation with someone. What's important to them? What are their aspirations? What do they like about their work? What do they hate about their work?
Yeah. Making employees feel heard is very...
Just feel heard, but actually heard.
Right.
Because some leaders I've seen, they can be nodding their heads, they'll be asking you a question, and it goes in one ear and out the other. So you might leave that interaction feeling like, I think I was heard, but they didn't. So it's actually listening to people, understanding what they're saying, taking that in, and having it inform how you lead.
Right. I want to get more into your career and how you got your start in this. What type of industries do you mainly work with, or do you have like a niche, like industries that you work with, or do you work with a bunch of different kinds?
I've been in all kinds of companies. I've had all kinds of companies. I have software business, biotech, private equity, organizational consulting. I've served on boards of such a disparate number and type of companies. It would be unusual for me to run into an industry type that I didn't have significant understanding of. And many parts of the business are the same, independent of the product or service. The game of business and how it's done well or not done well is pretty common.
Mm-hmm.
I might talk to a company that makes an antiviral medicine. Well, I wouldn't know how to create that antiviral medicine, but I understand biopharmaceuticals and the healthcare industry.
How did you get into this line of work? I think that's such an interesting job. How did you get started in that? I know you mentioned that you went to school for business psychology, correct?
Well, I had a consulting business for 23 years, and that was our job, was providing beautiful information that helped people solve their problems, coupling the combination of human psychology and business principles. Mm-hmm. I went to school for psychology at San Diego State, got a master's at Long Beach State, and became a business person out of practical necessity, and said, hey, I'll put the two together. And when you've had a lot of times at bat and different types of experiences, made your own mistakes, then you can be a valuable advisor to others.
You have a very driven personality and work ethic. Where does that come from? A lot of people don't necessarily have that. And what is your secret? How have you been like that your whole life?
Well, through childhood and adulthood, I was forced to be independent.
Okay.
I left home at 17.
Oh, wow.
I was living in my car.
Oh, wow.
So that's how I started life as an independent adult. Mm-hmm. And nothing happened in my life if I didn't do it.
Right.
So I've had a lot of help on the way. I'm not saying that it's been entirely my own. I owe a lot of people a lot of thanks.
Mm-hmm.
But bottom line is I was accountable for myself.
Going back to your book, so it was ready for that conference. So did you bring the books to your conference, or have you had any feedback or reviews, comments about your book since it's been published?
Well, the folks who received it at the conference, they've all said, I'm going to start reading this right away. So we'll see how long that takes. I have had others who have purchased the book once it was published in August and written me notes of thanks and positive comments. No one's complained about it yet, so that's good.
How long is the book? Is it a fast read? Is it a hard read?
It's about, I'd say, a four-hour read.
Oh, okay.
Maybe 3 to 4, depending on how fast you read.
Right.
And I wanted to make it small enough that you could do it in a single setting if you wanted to.
Right. Get all the information.
Also that you could flip back towards.
Right.
Go back and reread a chapter in 20 minutes.
Reread or make notes in the margins. Yeah, that's great. What advice would you give to someone writing their first book? Or maybe, if you could think back to when you wrote your first book, I know you've published before, what advice would you give them?
Write about what you know. If you know something and you feel confident in your knowledge and that's why you want to write, you want to share it for the benefit of others or the entertainment of others, that's a benefit, then write what you know. I deeply respect novelists. That's a whole different
type
of writing. I have no idea how people do that.
I've had a lot of authors that I've interviewed and I feel like more like nonfiction authors. One, it takes them a lot less time to publish and get it. And then, fiction authors, we talk a lot about writer's block and things like that. Do you have any personal goals for this year or any professional goals? Do you have any conferences coming up or any other book goals or anything?
Well, I'm taking a bit of a breather. It's been a pretty hectic year because I'm still working part-time, but part-time became full-time. And so did the conference add to that. So I'm looking forward to a little lower activity rate for the next few months through the holidays.
Yeah. And then that's true.
Next year, I'd like to continue working with companies that believe what I believe, and I think I can help them.
Right. That's great. Yeah, it'll be nice for you to take a little breather, some family time, holiday time, vacation time. That'll be nice.
Exactly.
Well, do you have anything else you'd like to say? I know you have a website. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. The website is, as you've noticed, the landing page is simply a bio. Here's what I do. Here's what I've done. Then there's a blog. I still write articles. I don't do it every week now, but I'll still write articles. The latest article I wrote was on AI. I invented a trademark that says Ain't AI. It's a shape of a head with Ain't AI in the middle. And if you put it on your work, you certify that that work is entirely human generated.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
On the back of my book, you'll see the logo, Ain't AI.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
But I like to write articles on just about anything. The horrendous calamities in the world today forced me to feel like I need to speak out about the 99.9% of the planet that just wants peace in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to pay more attention to what's going on that's good between people of a wide variety of types.
I think that's all the time we have. Thank you for being on Author Roundup. I appreciate your time, Stan. And if you wish to learn from Stan and how to create a positive culture within your company, or if you're just interested in this topic in general, please buy his book at trafford.com in our online bookstore. Or if you prefer Amazon or Barnes & Noble, you can purchase his book as well and also visit his website for some blogs and more information about him. Thank you, Stan. Thank you so much for joining me.
It's been my pleasure to get to know you, Emma.
Yes, of course, you too. Thank you for watching.
Thanks for listening. Before we go, show some love by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. Stay tuned for our next interview on the Book Connection Show, where we meet extraordinary indie voices with incredible stories.